Good morning, good afternoon, and good day to our Dad Time Out Show listeners around the world. Welcome to the Dad Time Out Show. We're just four dads with 12 kids between us, and we all, oddly enough or not, work in the entertainment industry. We're not parenting experts, but we listen to them. We interview them. We read what they have to say. And then we report back to you and ourselves to see how we're doing. It's a place to put your feet up or down, relax, listen to us, and let us do the legwork, the research, and the reading. All articles, interviews, and show notes are now available at www.tadtimeoutshow.com after each show. And we're very interactive with all our listeners on social media. So if you could follow us on the gram, that's where we're most active. In tonight's show, of course, the dads kick off with a little catch-up, a little April shower chatter, and then they'll move on to parent funny tweets of the week about spring and smart articles by smart people. Very topical at the moment, but the name of the article is "Why Is It So Hard for Men to Make Close Friends? And Why Are American Men Stuck in a Friendship Recession?" So that's going to be an interesting topic to break down. And then we lighten things back up, and the guys will take a quick quiz on the season of spring, and then finally wrapping up with things that make them smile. Speaking of things that make me smile, I welcome Uncle Joe out to the backyard. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing all good.
You're doing all good. Is that a proper sentence, or...
I'm doing good.
Thank you, sir. You recently had a production of Charlie and the Chocolate Factor. Would you like to just sing us a bar from one of the songs that you sang for the seniors the other day?
Sure.
All right. You want me to do it first?
Yeah, we'll do it at the same time.
Okay, one, two, three. Cheer up, Charlie. Very good.
All right. It was amazing.
That was amazing. Now, let's go on to the joke of the day.
All right. What did the right eye say to the left eye?
What did the right eye say to the left eye? I don't know.
Between you and me, something smells.
Between you and me, something smells? That is just magical. I'll let you go back in the house, have some dinner. Great job coming around the corner. The guys and DTO fired back up. Here we go in April. Dad Time Out Show coming up next.
Gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the universe, here in this great hall of justice, are the most powerful forces of good ever assembled, dedicated to truth, justice, and peace for all mankind.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Dad Time Out Show.
All right, here they are coming around the corner.
Hey, are we
it's magical. Hello, gentlemen. Hey, welcome. Right, welcome.
Hello.
Hi. Mark, Ben, we have been, and I apologize to our listeners ahead of time, we have been all, like you, incredibly busy with family, life, spring break, sports, all the stuff, and there's four of us, so it's hard to get us all together at one time, but here we are. Let me hit a little applausey-lawsy just for you guys.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
All right, let's just we'll paint the room here. It's a beautiful California evening. The fog is in, so it's a little chilly out. Yeah. But spring has sprung so far, and that's kind of what we're talking about tonight, boys. We also will talk about, too, I mentioned it in the top of the show, it all started, we're going to talk about male loneliness and men not having friends and all that stuff. I'm in this, I'm not participatory, which is a bad example of what we're trying to preach here, but I was participatory for a second. There's a book club online that the National Stay-at-Home Dad group has, National At-Home Dad Network, if I can get it right. They have a book club, and it's really cool, and they put cool books, and the guys all zoom in, and then they all talk, and they talk about the book, of course, but they also talk about life, and it all kind of feeds in together in tonight's theme. But one of their books, Kyle Denny sent out, was We Need to Hang Out by Billy Baker. I highly recommend it. I'm only about halfway through. Billy Baker is a writer from the Boston Globe that was doing research on male loneliness and stuff like that. And it's a very good book. And it kind of opened up my eyes to kind of a semi-epidemic. Like, it's a big deal. It's been very topical. It's been in the news lately. It was on Today Show the other day. So anyway, we'll get into that. I did want to do a live unveiling based on our conversation right before this. So I'm going to do an unboxing, which is always good for audio.
He pulls out
unboxing.
Paint a word picture here.
This Amazon landed on my doorstep, and I'll put the picture online for listeners.
He's got a package.
He's opening the package. Opening it up.
What is that?
Ready?
Is it a sign?
Because I'm building the anticipation. Anticipation.
It looks like a sign.
It looks like a giant guitar pick.
Here it is.
It's a guitar pick.
First thing I bought after
metal guitar
pick.
Life is short. Buy the tickets.
Life is short. 18-inch. Buy the tickets.
I love it. I love it.
Metal guitar pick.
Yes. It's.
And it says, life is short. Buy the concert tickets.
Yeah. Buy the tickets.
It says, buy the tickets.
Wait, that was kind of your quote or somebody's quote.
I'm not sure whose it was, but I stole it, and now it's going to be on my wall because it is. Life is too short, and gratitude
is. I was thinking of you guys the other day, how much money you put into tickets. I was wondering what we would do with that same amount of money. I wondered how much your family spent on concert tickets. I doubt with my daydream.
You guys are a big concert family.
We are a big concert family, but a lot of them are perks or comps or. We'll do last minute kind of deals and stuff like that. Hold on one second. The sound of the harp must mean we're back. It's uncharacteristically, it started to drizzle right here in the backyard studio. So we've moved in a little bit. Plus, Ben sounds a lot better now. So anyway, Billy Baker, we need to hang out. We'll take us into this article from the New York Times. And then I sent y'all a PBS video, too. I figured sometimes Ben doesn't like words, so I figured video would work a lot better. But good week. I'm now an official vinyl collector.
Officially? All right.
Yeah, I went to Record Store Day and got a couple special issue records on Record Store Day.
Nice.
My oldest has a little cheapo record player, but she's really kind of loving vinyl too, so it's kind of a fun little thing. But we want to get moving through, so let's just thank some of our recent interactions on the gram, and we always have a lot of fun over there. Cool Mom Picks reached out, Family is About Love, Fan Dads, Amy Joyce, Michelle Ickard, Brock Lush, and Oh Baby, I Had No Idea, and Dr. Catherine Schmidt. So hello to all of you. And then when we come back, we're going to be talking tweets of the week. All right? All right.
All right.
All right. This candle's lovely.
Time now for the tweets of the week. Tweet.
All right, it's time for tweets of the week. 21 funny tweets to kick off spring with some laughs. But we're not going to do all 21, obviously. If you have anything in common with them, these people are very funny. So let's just talk it up and just read along. And here we go. Number two, I always think my feelings are so complicated, but then spring happens. And I'm like, oh, wait, I'm fine. Mm. Do you get it? You don't get it.
It went over my head a little.
I think
I'm fine.
I think winter provides doldrums and spring provides flowers.
Okay.
When I was in New York recently, the trees were just starting to bud. The tulips were just starting to put their little heads out. And as you can see, the yard's getting more colorful. Beautiful. So I think that's what Ellie Krimendahl is saying, guys.
I think she's right.
I think we're underthinking it. Go ahead.
Yeah. No.
you're all rattled because you had to move locations, and now you're in close proximity.
All right, next one. Next one.
You use the words futzing. Yeah.
No, I have not used the word futz.
You used
no
it,
one
like
used
four
the word
times,
futz.
Four times you said I'm futzing with my mic too much. So I'm just
well,
going to sit
do,
here
you
and
futz.
Sit still so you don't get mad at me. You're so mad at me.
Futzer. All right, this comes from Bizarre Lazar. After 6 weeks, $140 in supplies and a daily watering, we're only 3 to 4 weeks away from enjoying a single 25-cent vegetable from our garden.
Yes. Man, we spent hundreds of dollars on things for our yard recently, And my wife was looking at getting blueberries. I said, what? So that my 9-year-old can pick them off the bush and eat the three the that lesson. We grow?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Nah. Like, nah. I'm for high-volume tomatoes.
Well, that's right.
Our yard produces great tomato volume.
If it's really about the money, it's a high-yield thing. But if it's about the lesson of your kids going out, hey, go get me some thyme. And then be able to identify the time. Yeah, that's the value.
I get that part. But
you know why? It's very agrarian when you plant things.
I'll tell you guys.
And you put them in the ground.
Finally.
And you watch seeds nurtured. And
4 years sprouters. Later, he's getting it.
We got Brussels sprouts growing this year.
Dang. We did pumpkin. Yeah, so I saw a video, of course. This dude threw a pumpkin in his backyard, and then he did a time lapse on it. Like over the course of the off season, and the pumpkin rots down, and then the seeds hit the ground, and then it just blows up, and it just puts vines everywhere, and pumpkins are everywhere. So we kind of did that last year, and it actually worked. So we had a little pumpkin action going last year, but four pumpkins, yippee!
You got four pumpkins. Did you eat the pumpkins?
Woo!
Did you eat them?
No, they were for decoration.
Right.
So now I've invested in lavender. I feel like it's a win-win because it'll smell nice when the breeze blows.
It's always worth it.
It's a lot of work.
As you can see up there, we have the rosemary, which brings a nice fragrance across the thing. But yeah, the little bitty tomatoes and the one little bead pod. But yeah, if you're about the process and showing little Tammy how seeds grow into sprouts and sprouts grow into, it's beautiful.
Tammy don't care.
But once you have a 9-year-old, you pretty much have gotten past that point. Now it's just about quantity.
And this, you know, we're urban suburban people, so we don't have the turf that a lot of the country has. So full props out to the big gardeners out there. Not knocking that. This is from Emma Beasley. Just being Emma, I found the perfect way to keep my plants healthy. I leave them at the garden center as nature intended.
Yes.
Well,
that's funny.
I'm bad. Yeah, I'm bad.
I'm pretty bad.
Yeah, I like that stuff. Down there.
I got a succulent for my daughter at work for Earth Day, and on the way home, I killed it.
The succulent?
Yeah.
Well, almost impossible to kill.
It didn't even make it home.
It's a plant you can't kill.
It was windy. I was on a skateboard. All the stuff fell out. I can't even.
How do you kill a succulent?
Just go with pet
like,
rocks.
I could break this leaf off and chuck it over there, and it'll grow out. Like, look at these ugly things over here.
Yeah. It's a curse.
Succulent palooza.
Gave up too early or something.
That should be another lesson of like persistence and getting the job done.
Well, there's an app that you can actually take a picture of a dying plant and it'll tell you what it needs, and then you can jump into action and provide triage.
Wow. What if they did that with like pets?
Give it to your neighbor.
Wow.
Give it away quickly.
You can't. You're a lost cause.
You have a black thumb.
We've had indoor success for the first time. That one's fake. But we have an indoor success from Trader Joe's plants, actually. The elephant ears, they're called.
Those are great.
Yeah, they really do well indoor. Anyway, I digress. Okay, relatable or not, from Dan Reagan. The first day of spring, men take out their 4 pair of cargo shorts from the bottom drawer and put them in the top drawer.
Mm. We're in California, so.
Cargo shorts.
Perennial cargo shorts.
Yeah. I'm trying to break the habit. I feel like I don't want, but I like them.
Yeah.
And I do use the cargo.
Me too.
Like, I'll stuff in there.
Everything?
Yeah.
I hate bulging pockets.
Yeah, I don't wear cargo shorts at all.
Can't do bulging
pockets.
Really?
It's like a standard dad uniform.
Yeah, that's an SDU.
SDU.
I want like golf shorts.
It's SDU.
We're streamlined.
I guess so. You're fancy, though.
Oh, yeah.
What, you don't have that need for extra pockets?
Nah.
You're a metro.
Yeah.
It's okay. All right. That's fine.
Yeah, I'm more, it depends. I like flip-flops, too. Anyway, all right. So, yeah, I have 2 pair of cargos, and they're coming out. Okay, this has come from our old friend, Simon C. Holland. I really like our spring wreath this year. It's a thing I instinctively say because I'm finally getting good at marriage.
That is advanced technique right there. That's when you're like, get extra points.
See, we have role reversal around here because I am more of the decorator and designy kind of person. And my wife's more like, I'll install that outlet and, you know, plug those lights in for you. Do you hear the rain coming in?
It's beautiful.
Yeah,
I feel it.
Nothing will match the night we had your father-in-law out here.
Pitter patter.
This one's from Mary Fairy Bowberry. I threw out my rotten Halloween pumpkin today, so my spring cleaning is done.
Oh, man. All right.
All right. And then we're going to henpecked towel for the win. I asked my son what he thought his kindergarten teacher did over spring break. He informed me the teachers pretty much just sit there and wait for students to come back.
Man.
It is weird when you see your teacher like at Safeway or at the supermarket, you know, like,
Oh my gosh,
Miss Buckner.
I rarely do. I don't think the ours live around here.
It's hilarious. It's actually a conversation piece that my middle schooler will talk to her friends about, and I'll listen to them in the car. We saw so-and-so at Trader Joe's. And I'm like,
they're alive.
Well, yeah, they got to shop.
They're humans. They're
right, exactly.
Yeah, humans need to be nourished.
Ours is the worst.
All right, this is the final one from the dad. There are two types of people in a marriage, the person who wants to start a vegetable garden and the person who absolutely doesn't but ends up doing most of the work anyway. All right, and that's a quick wrap on our tweets of the week as we renegotiate the sudden rainstorm out here in the backyard studios. We'll be right back.
Uh-oh, closed by bald people.
All right, we are back with smart articles by smart people. This one is from the New York Times. It's called, Why Is It So Hard for Men to Make Close Friends? And I also sent y'all a video from PBS NewsHour, why a growing number of American men say they are in a friendship recession. So I guess before we even dive in, where do you put yourself in this area? Do you guys, because we're friends, I get that. We text all the time. We don't see each other a whole lot out of here. Mark and I do a little more because we're in school together. And Ben, I'll have the rogue run-ins periodically. But
call you all the time.
How do you guys do with the general topic heading? Do you feel like this is going to be something that's on point for you, or do you feel like you've covered your bases?
I kind of get the sense that this is maybe generational a little bit, because like I feel like if I look at my parents' generation, they still maintain these really long, very close friendships.
Yeah.
I look at my generation, and, you know, just for the listeners, I'm like 50, so, you know, I'm still kind of like have a really solid core group of friends that like are high school age, like, you know, my whole life and even our college roommates and stuff. So I feel like I have plenty of friends, guy friends, and like really close, like my work guy friends and my home, like, you know, so I don't know. And I have this and you guys are like, I feel like some of my closest friends. And I really feel like I'm like the opposite. I feel like I don't have that drought, but I do recognize that younger generation and folks that are a lot more accustomed to, like, you know, the texting, the internet, and all of that, like, that was their main communication method.
That was my first thought. That then,
yeah, I think that has had a huge impact on, like, in-person communication, face-to-face get-togethers, and even just like the article said, like, even picking up the phone and calling is now such a you know, like a faux pas. Like, did you call me? Why did you call me? Kind of thing. And it's right. Like, such, it's just weird. It's just
Mark.
Weird.
I differ from both of what you guys say. I think I'm in a huge deficit. My friends are so busy with their lives. I'm so busy with my life. You know, I'll have friends call me in the middle of me doing something and I can't pick up the phone to talk to them. And then when I circle back around, they can't pick up the phone to talk to me. So, like, I think that, I mean, both of, well, they were both articles, but I read part of it and I decided to watch the PBS one. But yeah, I completely relate to that. And I don't know. I mean, I would say, yeah, maybe it's generational, but I would also say that it just comes down to where you are in your life and what you've got going on in your life. And I have friends reach out wanting to like hang out with me and I'm just like, I want to go, but I feel like I'm always so roped into what I'm trying to accomplish with my family that I put that ahead of maybe what I might want or what I might need. And like, you know, Ben posted something on social media about pulling a guitar out and that hit home with me too, because I don't spend enough time on like what I want to do or what I need to do to keep me happy. So anyway, that's this article is like totally in lockstep with where I'm at.
I mean, well, it's interesting. So, you know, I've moved a couple times, right? So people that grew up where I grew up are multi-layered, right? They've got their childhood friends close by. They've got their high school, if, you know, still connected. Then their college, may or may not. And then their neighborhood, right? And then their school. They kind of went up and down the ladder here. My wife also, from born and raised, stayed within basically 150 miles her whole life. And I went to college in the South and then came out West. So I lost a lot of that, like everybody getting together to go watch the Eagles play, or everybody in the softball league back in the day, or stuff like that. So I missed a lot of that. And then you develop a lot of your friendships through the children, and then what's your game plan when that's done? So that's kind of what this taps into as well. And to your points about the non-communication that goes on with texting, that goes on with, you know, you don't really have physical conversations. Al Roker had a huge thing on it that he will never take a text. You have to call him if you want him for something. But it was just interesting. And then just recently, and I know that the Big Dads groups that I kind of work with here, and they talk about this a lot, and mental health and things to that effect, but it's really been creeping up on the radar. And then the stats are alarming, you know, when you really distill it down to suicides, to depression, to all of those types of things. But let me just start. I'll just kind of cherry pick the beginning of the article, and then we will kind of keep dissecting it. The key paragraph, I'll just start reading. The Tuesday before every Thanksgiving, Aaron Caro and Matt Ritter go out to dinner with a group of seven men who they befriended in second graders in Plainview, New York. At dinner, one of the friends wins the Man of the Year prize. Silly accolade the group concocted to excuse to reconnect. They eat, they laugh, and the winner leaves with his name engraved on a cartoonishly large silver cup. That's what a lot of my childhood friends do, right? But I'm out West. It's not really about the trophy, says Caro. It's about traditions that keep us together. The friends jockey for the prize and a running group text where they share memes and talk trash, but also keep up with each one another. I think men have been convinced that success in life does not necessarily include friendships. If they are successful at work or they've started a family, they've won. Our definition has always included having those thriving friendships. I think men have a deep craving for intimacy with their friends, said Nick Fager, a licensed mental health counselor. And getting there can feel so incredibly challenging. You know, and then this article also goes into that, like, women, females will pick up the phone and chat for 2 hours and feel totally connected. Men have a much harder time doing that type of thing. And I just thought it was, it does, there's, and the PBS kind of leans into it too, because they show the group in Phoenix of the older gentlemen that get together, and the guy that set it up is like, I don't know if anybody will even come. And now his group's at like 75.
Actually,
like
100 and something.
Oh, was it high, that high?
Yeah. He was mentioned in the other articles as well. He had like 80 in the second article, and then like 100 and so. Anyway.
No, it's all relevant. So this article goes on and says, if you look at little boys, they're pretty open and affectionate with each other. Mm-hmm. And then something happens, says Fred Rabinowitz, the chair of psychology. And he says they lose that openness and emotional vulnerability because they become taboo in the traditional male. So this article gives you four like practical tips. But, you know, again, it made me think about it the other day when I had 4 days of rest. I was thinking, like, who am I calling right now? Who cares? Who needs to know? Who doesn't need to know? Those types of things. And then, you know, all this stuff kind of fell into the dominoes of conversation and stuff. But what are your thoughts on that? Do you think, like, so you have boys, you have a boy, you have girls. You're not excluded, but you have a girls. Like, right now, my eighth grader is that kid. He's got really great friends, like, but they're very cool with each other. They tossle each other's hair. They make jokes together. They, you know, it's a very camaraderie. What do you think is the switch that men lose
cultural,
there?
I think a lot of cultures, men will walk hand in hand, you know, like, and it's in no way a sexual thing. It's just like, it's just this intimacy that a lot of cultures hold on to. I don't know if it's only American, but like, even, you know, I think Europeans are more vulnerable with each other. I don't know what's going on. Maybe it's just a highly, you know, capitalistic world we live in that are just...
I don't think it's capitalism.
Well,
I'm just saying
it could be a byproduct of it. I'm just saying,
I think
like,
it's machoism more
the
than
macho,
anything.
Yeah, it's the tough.
But I don't know if that's true, because like Italians and South American guys are ultra macho, but they're really like, you know, huggy and I don't know. I don't really know.
The point of the article though about that is that like at some point we lose that ability to be kind of affectionate to each other
but
and to be vulnerable and to,
or something. I don't.
No, no, it's not. I'm not saying
it's societal,
but it's societal.
It's
a
societal thing, and I mean, I can speak to my, you know, almost 18-year-old son, and he is always craving and seeking more, like deeper relationships with his friends, and we talk about it all the time because he's about to go to college, and we talk about how the bonds and the connections that he's going to take with him are going to be with people who he really has a touch point with and who he really can emotionally connect with, because the people that I'm still friends with are people that I have a connection with emotionally, not just like, you know, oh, we played baseball or football together, you know, and maybe that is for some people, maybe that does keep that intimacy intact. But I would tell you that, you know, I'm happy to see that my son still has that. With my 9-year-old, he's, you know, huggy and loves all of his friends, and so I like to see that. And it's also has to be encouraged from home. So, you know, I'm a big hugger, and I'm a very emotional, right, supportive person in that way. And I can tell you that through my life, it's been challenging because there's some people who don't have a comfort level with that level of intimacy. They think, oh, what's going on? Yeah. It's like, look, if I'm putting my arm around you and I care about you, it just means that I'm loving you. This is agape. This is brotherly love, man. I don't want to hug on you. Like in that way, I just want you to know that I appreciate you.
I'm from Philly, and we're known as the city of
brotherly
love.
Yeah.
I think that's a good point, just to give your son physical affection, kisses, hugs, and that'll make, you know, like make it normal for your kid. I think, I don't know what the stats would be on it, but I could see that more emotionally calloused men probably, maybe, I'm just guessing, had with their own father wasn't the most compassionate. I don't know.
I would say
guessing.
It took me about 40 years to get to the point where I could be like, I love you, man, and hug my friends. And
you think it's because your dad
was not an affectionate man?
My
dad has never reached out. He's never hugged me. He's never said he loved me. You know, it was always very, there was a very masculine, you know.
And I'm on the other side, and I'm super touchy, huggy, lovey.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of close guy friends. I can't relate too well to the article. I do have some thoughts about why, of course, but... I'm affectionate, but I'm also just personally a very nostalgic and emotional. So I don't know, and maybe that comes from my parents being very, you know, huggy, lovey people too. But I don't know.
I think I'm covered. I feel like I just need to keep the foot on the gas. Mm-hmm. You know,
you have to try in
those regards.
Well,
yeah,
and after you sent the articles over, I reached out to about 10 of my friends and just like, hey, I'm thinking about you. Want you to know you're important to me. Want you to know,
and
you know,
it's a key.
If you go to bed tonight and know that I reached out and that I'm thinking about you, because the mental health check of our male friends is super important.
And
yeah, for sure.
And the lesson would be, when you think of someone, text them. I try not to just let it float away, but say, hey, I'm thinking of you.
Yeah.
You know, like, and so maybe that would be, you know, one of the takeaways.
We'll move on to the solutions, according to this article. But Mr. Ritter's close crew notwithstanding, American men appear to be stuck in friendship recession, a trend that predates the COVID-19 pandemic, but that seems to have accelerated over the past several years as loneliness levels have crept up worldwide. In a 2021 survey of more than 2,000 adults, this article was brought back up to 2023. Less than half of the men said they were truly satisfied with how many friends they had, while 15% said they had no close friends at all, a fivefold increase since 1990. The same survey found that men were less likely than women to rely on their friends for emotional support or share their personal feelings with them.
I mean, 50% of men have no close friends at all. That's like an
epidemic.
Like, well,
that would be staggering if it's true. But
But if you think about it, I can, speaking for myself, I'm working out of my own house. I don't see very many people. Back when I had coworkers, I had those people to connect with. So beyond my kids or the occasional texts I have during the day, and then when you do connect with people, the first thing you want to do is not talk about what's going on in your life if it's a negative, well, because a nobody wants to hear that. Everybody wants to hear about the positives.
We were never meant to work from home, man.
So true. But my point is that relationally, you have to get yourself into a position where you are having a good back and forth with somebody before you, at least personally, I can't feel comfortable saying, hey, I'm struggling with X, Y, and Z if I'm hitting you up for the first time in 6 months.
Oh, of course.
Like, and maybe, yeah. And actually I do have a best friend and I do know that I could hit him up after, if I didn't talk, I mean, I talked to him all the time, but if I didn't, I know that he'd be there for me, but you know, one or two people out of how many you may need for that kind of level of support. I mean, you know, I don't know.
Anything societal needs to take COVID into account, that it went on longer than anybody anticipated and there was a true rewiring of our brains. Like, it's so much bigger than we can imagine. Like, of course we got rewired. Our men's social lives got decimated, right? Everybody's social life got decimated. So unless you work hard to recover it, and if you decided, yeah, you just sit at home alone and work all day and you don't actively seek community, yeah, of course. I mean, maybe your old friends might be there, but I mean, that would be the indicator to me, like, solution-wise, just join something you're passionate about. Like, you know.
That's one, but let me share what they say in here.
Go ahead.
But you're right, like, you know, joining groups and conferences and all those things can evolve into good friendships, but if nothing else, a busy network, you know, to keep check, and then you kind of figure out what way your river's going to flow. But to what you guys were saying earlier, practice vulnerability, even if it makes you uncomfortable. He's mindfully speaking in generalities. He believes the challenges some men face in developing meaningful platonic bonds boil down to how they've been socialized to equate masculinity with strength, competitiveness, and stoicism. Even as traditional gender norms have shifted, those qualities can make close friendships tricky. So you guys were onto something in your prior discussion, because that's obviously number one. Number two is, don't assume friendship happens organically. What we just talked about. So we're kind of ahead of the curve here. Since locating to Phoenix, Quincy Winston, and this is who the article was on, yearned for more friends. So last March, the urging of his girlfriend, he surprised himself by starting a group for local professional black men using Meetup, the social media platform. He would be happy to make 3 or 4 new friends, but as we just said, he's over 100. But his point was, he just wanted to get people in the same room to shed a light on the importance of being friends and having community and cultivating a group, a brotherhood. And, you know, if that gets sticky, so be it. As Mark and I have the Assumption Dads Club. And what I find interesting, it's our school's dad club. Sure. But at ninth grade, you're diving into this big ocean, and then you can continue the parent involvement somewhat, but it's not the same. And a lot of dads after the eighth grade is over will come to me and be like, man, I miss the meetings. I miss just kicking around. I miss having pizza and beer and just talking about what's going on at the school or getting that project up and running. So, you know, to this guy's point, making friends requires an adult initiative. He advised people to put themselves in recurring social situations, clubs and classes, to Ben's point, opportunity to get friends over time. Number three is, use activities to your advantage. Boys and men tend to socialize to do group activities kind of side by side. Looking to expand their social circle or turn to an acquaintance into a closer friend can lean into that propensity. Let's play the game together. Let's play softball. Let's play poker.
Faith groups. Like, that's a great place for vulnerability, actually, where vulnerability is encouraged with men, you know, and unfortunately it's a cultural kind of drought or this kind of dip or kind of weird sway in church attendance, or, you know, even if you, every spectrum of faith wasn't the point, but there's this kind of kickback, and I'm seeing, you know, I'm not here for my good looks, guys. I'm the spiritual consultant here, right? But
definitely not here for your good looks. Yeah,
but I'm just saying, like, I notice with our own church, this, like, almost this kind of, like, drudging up of a man's vulnerability. Like, hey, you know, like, be vulnerable. Be like, let's talk about the struggles of being men together. Let's, you know. And so that's, if you have any, what, even if you don't, like, it doesn't matter where you are in belief. I think that the church and faith groups has always been a really good place for men to be vulnerable about being men together in our human condition. But that's kind of, you know, really in a kind of a different place culturally in America right now.
Well, because when I was reading through the articles and thinking about it, I was absolutely thinking about faith-based organizations, because that's how I grew up and where I grew up. And I would tell you that when I go to places of faith, I don't feel common bonds with people, which is why I don't involve myself, because connectivity is really important to me. Feeling connected to another person is really important to me. And beyond that, though, but I was also thinking about, like, the Lions Club and the Kiwanis and the Elks and all of those other clubs. And it seems like these clubs, these organizations, they don't seem to be as prevalent. At least I don't have anybody knocking down my door and asking me to join the Knights of Columbus or the Masons or the Lions, you know. And so when I grew up, that's what my grandpa did. It's what my dad did. And there seems to be this chasm where's the bridge that leads me to that community-based, faith-based relationship with other men doing good things, whether we're side by side and we're helping build a bridge or we're teaching kids to tie ties or collecting cans or you know, whatever that is, whatever that thing that feeds us spiritually and also just as human beings,
it's like Fortnite.
I feel like it's lacking. Maybe I'm just not looking in the right places. The
point, yeah. I think it's there. You just have to find it.
Well, that's my point. Maybe I'm just
but not it's definitely not as places. Prevalent, right? That used to be the only show in town was like those kind of social events. Whereas,
yeah, where the people in your cul-de-sac.
Yeah, we have so much competition for our time and our attention that, mm-hmm. and it's so convenient just to like reach out via social media and to get your socialization that way. That, you know, driving out to the Elks Club and hanging out there or going bowling with the league is just like, I don't know. It just seems like definitely falling out of favor these days.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's going to catch on to a new form or not. Like, it's going to be interesting. And I think that, you know, for the most part, we're all for kind of okay. We could probably use a little fuel in the fire or, you know, a revamp. I think a lot of this is addressing the hair under us, too. And then now it'll be interesting to watch the tech groups come through.
I'm worried about that.
The iPhone groups coming through.
That next generation is in for, I think, kind of a big, like, awakening in terms of loneliness and
yeah,
but they're in the deep dark void. They don't know the way back. That's the scary part. It's not a reckoning.
It's going to be fake friends.
But what are we showing them? Again, I had my father and my grandfather as teachers showing me what they did, and I'm too busy running from this practice to that practice to this event to that event to spend my Thursday nights at the Elks meeting or the Lions meeting. I do DTO, but aside from you guys, this is like my only outlet of being outside of my home other than things that involve my children. So it's like to a degree, there seems to be a need for people, both men and women, to reclaim that solidarity of themselves with a group of like-minded individuals so they can be a man or a woman with men and women and come out of it having felt heard and stronger and healthier.
This is where I'm telling you that this is where the AI friends are really going to take off, is that it's going to meet a need for us, this loneliness, and it's going to be so good at responding that you're like, well, man, I'm in love with this.
Some of that's kind of happening.
Yeah,
I mean, totally. I don't want to boil that ocean right now, because that's a whole other. Jeez, no, you're all Chris. Good. This is a very layered onion. I'm just trying to like brush stroke it here, but the final thing they say, which we've all already alluded to, is harness the power of casual check-ins. I'll say I've learned a lot from my father in this regard. He every morning, well, at least when we'd see him in the summer times, or from as long as I can remember, he had this old address book, and a lot of it was business because he did a lot of business, but he had this old one that you'd slide the slider up and down.
Yeah, I love those.
And it had all the, and he'd flick it, and he'd just find a friend, and he'd just he'd call.
Random.
And he'd be like, hey, just wanted to say hey. Just wanted to see how you were doing.
That's awesome.
I mean, but he still does it in many forms. Now he's texting the same type of things as well because he's technically savvy. But yeah, I did. I like that. I like the casual reach outs. Like, and to Mark, we said earlier, like, hey, I'm just thinking about you. How are you doing? Like, is everything cool? And then if it has the minute to pick up the phone and reconnect for, you know, a few minutes, so be it. But that's a big thing for them is people tend to think, oh, he's too busy or he's moved on with his life or he doesn't care. I think hearing about studies like this can remind men that some of those barriers they have in their heads are not necessarily how things will turn out. Send the text, check in. Mr. Carroll and Mr. Ritter say routine check-ins have been indispensable in keeping their group friendship alive, maybe more so than their annual get-together. The group's text message chain, fellas, allows them to sustain a certain level of closeness over time and distance, a reflection of how much the friendship matters to them all. And then finally, Caro says, I am the only unmarried one and the only one without kids in my group. These guys are my family. So
I got to say, like, the daily texts that you guys send that I get from you, like, it feels like a lifeline to me. I feel like literally sometimes that I'm floating in space in my own world all alone. And then every now and then I'll get a little bleep. And then it's like, oh, there's people out there. These are my friends. And we have this shared like joke or inside joke or this running dialogue about your shoes and this and that and the puppy poop. And,
yeah.
You know, all of that to me is just like what keeps me going, and it was what life is all about. Because
I'm gonna text more.
Yeah, man. String. Yeah,
I always think, in particular, we're funny because we all have things going on, and we don't care where you're at or what you're doing. It's just like,
oh,
Mark's not answering. Must be too good for the chain. Oh, Ben's probably in customs in Honduras right now. Good stuff, man. All right. Well, luckily I've got you three to be that cornerstone. But we'll all work on it. We'll talk about this because it's all over everywhere these days. So I'm sure there's deeper subtopics along the lines of this. So we'll come back with a little lighter fare, a little spring trivia question. And this will be for a new succulent. We're going to play for a succulent tonight to send Chris home with his little plant that he can't kill. So coming up next, spring quiz.
Palette quiz. Quiz, 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 quiz.
Ben and Mark are having little chitty chatties. They don't even care that we're recording anymore.
Okay. I'm here.
I would put out the candle. I was
is it real?
I was zen.
Sorry, listeners, during our brief break, one of our DTO attendees almost passed away.
They could do the Heimlich.
Apparently, he was allergic to a candle that was on the table. So we fixed two situations tonight, three actually.
We had a little tiff.
If we put Ben's silence into the fold. Yeah. All right, so this is the spring quiz. Good luck, everybody. It is spring all over the country, and it's a very pretty time of year. So let's just take a little test. Number one, with several varieties weighing less than a coin, what is the world's smallest bird? Is it a hummingbird, a sparrow, a finch, or a kingfisher?
Hummingbird.
Kingfisher. Hummingbird.
Come on, hummingbird, man.
Kingfisher is a type of hummingbird.
Okay, the answer is D, hummingbird.
Shut up.
So happy.
The
rufous and broad-tailed hummingbirds weigh less than a nickel.
What?
The bee hummingbird of Cuba weighs less than a dime and is often mistaken for its namesake insect. All fun facts coming here late in the show.
We saw some amazing taxidermied hummingbirds.
Okay, great story. Oh, number two.
So mean, dude.
We saw some amazing.
What are the? You use your time a lot with the last piece. What are the spring months in Australia? This is question number two for those of you who may have lost count.
Australia, below the Ecuador.
December to...
It's opposite.
February, March to May, June to August, or September to November.
So what is opposite?
September to November.
September to November?
No, it's December to April.
December to April.
Oh, interesting.
Going with Mark.
The correct answer is September to November.
It's opposite.
Good job, Ben.
Wasn't that opposite?
Oh.
Seasons are reversed in the southern hemisphere compared to the northern hemisphere, making September to November this spring months in Australia.
I got it in theory. I just didn't do the math.
My all right.
My friends are always complaining about Christmas being in summer.
I'm going to get a little feisty here. Question number something.
Three.
What? Which of these is not a reason why woodpeckers peck wood?
I know this one.
Is it to mark territory, to chisel holes for nesting, to find insects to eat, or to scare predators?
B. Chisel holes for nesting.
No, okay, Mark no. and Ben say it's chisel one, holes for nesting.
It's the first one. It's no. the marking their territory. They do chisel for the home.
They don't. No, they don't.
It's either that or the predator one.
They can't make a hole.
Well, I got bad news, everybody.
Everyone's wrong.
It's D.
To predator. The predator.
The correct answer is D, to scare predators. The woodpecker, encompassing about 180 species, stands out for its behavior of probing for insects in tree bark and chiseling nest holes in dead wood. In spring, males holding territories often make their presence known through loud calls and drumming on hollow wood, like they do in Alameda.
Nice, nice.
This thing is rigged.
We have a, but yeah, we have a woodpecker. On our house.
Congrats.
Yeah, we got
it's
one
not
too.
Fun. Yeah, it's no fun. Good.
Yeah. Do you wife, name him?
My yeah. wife is really upset with that one. She's
Larry,
not good with
Larry.
The birds.
Ours is named Larry.
You got one?
You do.
Yeah, Larry.
Back in the day, I had this kid in my neighborhood. I'm not going to give his last name, but he had a BB gun.
Oh, geez.
And he would take aim on birds of such.
Yeah,
I'm not friends with him anymore. He's not part of our other friend conversation. It just etched in my brain. That's how mean this kid was. All right. Which bird is known for its ability to turn its head more than 180 degrees each direction?
Owl.
Yeah, come on, owl.
Due to the fixed position of its eyes. Yes, it is correct. It is owl. Remarkable neck flexibility.
I love owls.
Cool. All right. Which bird lays? There's a lot of bird questions for spring. What bird lays its egg in other birds' nests, tricking them into caring for its young?
Cuckoos.
Is it a cuckoo?
Yeah, that's like
wow,
cuckoos.
Doesn't even get the choices, and he goes for cuckoo. Why what about you, about Ben? Birds. Blue yeah, jay, cuckoo. Stork, duck, all nicknames of mine in the past, or cuckoo.
We're all going cuckoo.
I mean, Chris's confidence is overwhelming.
Yes.
Chris? Congratulations.
Thank you.
It is cuckoo. Female cuckoos are so adept at mimicry, they can adopt the shade of their egg shells to match those of other birds in the habitat.
Come
on. Wow.
That's insane. That's
an impressive bird.
That is impressive.
All right. In Roman mythology, which goddess is associated with the flowering of the plants and the arrival of spring?
Venus.
Oh, yeah. That sounds about right.
Venus, Diana, Juno, which is also a great movie starring Michael Cera. Yes. And I forget who else is in that. Or Flora. Venus, Diana, Juno, or Flora.
Venus.
Mark's going Flora.
Well, that's a trick question. If it's Flora, it's silly.
I mean, I'm going
well,
Flora
then it
now,
is
then.
Silly, Ben.
Is it really I'm Flora?
The correct answer is Flora. Thank in you. Roman religion, oh, yes. Flora is the goddess of flowering of
is
plants.
Like Venus is the quiz? Goddess of love, dude.
Celebrating the during the Floralia festival, she symbolized the renewal stupid. And blossoming associated Sorry. With spring.
Things rigged.
It's okay.
All right. Sorry, Ben.
Flora.
All right. Final question. Which movement did Greta Thunberg establish that addresses climate change and has galvanized students globally to participate? Is it Earth Hour, Greenpeace, Fridays for Future, School Strike for Climate? Same answer. Or D, Climate Reality Project.
Climate Reality Project.
I'm going at the slash. C.
I like the slash. She's
yeah,
a little
I like
crazy,
slash.
Right?
Yeah, that's a big old name.
Yeah, Let's the slash that. Is correct, gentlemen. Sorry, yeah. Mark.
Whatever.
The correct answer is C for Fridays for the Future, School for Strike for Climate. She founded the movement known as Fridays for Future, which inspired students worldwide to participate in climate action. All right, I will give the final question here. It's very difficult, so this is kind of like Final Jeopardy. Which Swedish botanist developed the system for naming and classifying organisms that we still use today? Is it Agnes Arbor, Ernst Haeckel, Carolus Linnaeus, or Catherine Esau?
It's A.
The correct answer is?
A. I'm going to say B just to mix it up. I have no idea. None of us know.
Well, you have learned something. It's C. Carolus Linnaeus. who established the principles for defining genera and species of organisms and created a uniform system for naming them. The system remains in use today. Thank you, Carlos.
For flora
and fauna.
All right, we're in the home stretch. Coming up next, things that make us smile. All right, it's time for things that make us smile. I announced this rather quickly, so everybody's pondering their smiley moments. But I'll have to say the first one that's foremost to me is being alive and sitting here. Here's a little story attached to that we'll get to on another day. But I'm on the centrifuge of gratitude, spitting it out wherever I can all over the world. And I made a new vow to contribute to the world and advance positivity at least once, micro or macro, every single day for the rest of my life. But I'm also happy. Smiles go to our puppy, Lucy, who's insane. All three of my children are in shows right now, and it's so moving to see them up on stage by themselves, singing and dancing and all that stuff. My oldest has got two going on simultaneously, and my middle and my younger one, the Oompa Loompa, and then Uncle Joe were out here because they did Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Awesome. And I, my wife makes me smile because she kept a calm head, and she's amazing, and I literally owe her my life.
You're a lucky man.
So let's go around the table.
Your wife makes me smile.
My youngest daughter is now through the musicals and back on the golf course, so that makes me smile. We're back in the tournament.
What was she?
Circuit.
She was in Charlie?
Adam's Family.
Adam's Family.
It was actually really entertaining. Yeah? I actually was going into it kind of like, oh, gosh, but it was pretty cute, I got to say.
All right.
Yeah, it was really entertaining. Six times entertaining, you know. Watched it every
show. You went to all six?
Every show, yeah.
Yeah, I tend to do that, too.
You know, I like to see how they do it different every time. Uh-huh. And then my oldest daughter was visiting to go see that, what's her name? Bluey?
L-A-U-F-E-Y.
The pop jazz.
Yeah.
Came into town. That was kind of cool seeing her for a quick second.
Coming up from SoCal.
Yeah, and I'm glad you're with us as all well. Right. You make me smile. Y'all make me smile.
Thank you.
Well, that candle was making me really happy. So Mark had to blow it out.
Marcus. Dude.
I was all Zen Ben.
He was coughing.
I was so happy. I was like, I love this candle right now.
And then did you see Mark?
And then I started rubbing your back.
He was dying.
He looked like the girl dying that ate the blueberry in Willy Wonka.
I did.
Like
did
started
it help?
To get
was it a candle?
His face got big.
Yes, it was
not
a calendar.
Look at him now. He's not coughing.
It was a candle.
Yes. I'm taking that candle.
That makes me smile. Mark's well.
Mark, you're back.
Mark didn't die on the show.
Right.
This is not this is a coincidence, but I have a cherry tree in our backyard, and I sit and it's only in bloom a couple weeks a year, and I sit there for an hour every morning while I do my emails back there, and I just look at that tree, and it makes me so happy, you know, the white little blossoms against the blue sky. Lord Almighty, I don't know why, but I sit and watch that, and my rabbits jumping around. I don't know. That tree, I'll tell you this. Get a cherry tree, everybody. It's wonderful. Makes me. It really does make me happy. I know
I'm a special person to appreciate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That cherry tree.
I grew up
it's
with
like the, Crazy Rich Asians, where he waits for it to bloom and then he gathers all of his friends, and then the one white
magic
petal pops up.
Ooh. It's magic. Ooh. This thing is exploding, and I thought I was going to miss it because I was in the Netherlands last week.
Dope.
And I was calling Saskia, my wife. I'm like, is it blooming?
Set up the nest cam.
Yes.
Set up the nest. I ran past my kids that wanted a hug. And just
I grew up with
the cherry tree.
I grew up with a cherry tree in my backyard. I feel this.
It's very special. It snows down.
Okay.
It
doesn't snow here.
The
leaves.
The little
cherry
blossom
leaves.
And then they come down. It's a magical thing. Get beautiful a cherry tree.
Well, Washington, D.C. is very famous for
the cherry
blossoms.
The birds get them.
Yeah, but that's tough. Yeah.
You know, I skipped a question in the quiz that had to do with that. Now I feel like I should double back. During spring, the Japanese celebrate the blossoming of which tree? Famously tracking their northward progress across the country.
Cherry. It's cherry.
It's B. Cherry.
It is cherry.
All right, Mark.
Oh, I'm really happy to be here with you guys. It's been a while, so it's that makes me happy and smile to be able to put on the calendar that I'm going to hang out with you guys for an evening. We took what may be our last family trip with our soon to be 18-year-old son. We went to Grand Cayman, spent some time in the Caribbean, and that was super cool.
It's a giant alligator.
What?
Yeah.
Isn't Cayman an alligator?
Mm-hmm. No. And then we did college tours, and we're about to. My son's going to commit to a college, and
which one?
That won't be on this broadcast.
You're not revealing it yet.
Not on the broadcast.
What's the first choice?
No.
He should tell us. Shouldn't he tell us? I would tell you.
Not on the air. Not on the air.
Chris told us.
I'll tell you guys afterwards.
After. Chris was excited. He ran. Yeah. So he's UCLA Bruin gear and.
We're looking forward to that adventure in his life, and you know, just wrapping up the getting close to Maycember.
Which adventure, Mark? Where's he going to go?
Leave him alone.
So many adventures. I will tell you that one college stood out amongst the rest of all of the tours we did.
Was it on a recent visit or was it an early visit in the Grand Cayman?
I'll tell you, my daughter wants my 14-year-old.
Is it in a state that rhymes with California?
Yes, my son will be going to college in California.
All right.
Anyhow,
good luck to your son. I'm sure his choice is going to be where he feels the best, and it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that wraps up the old showy woey. Thank you for coming over. Thank you for listening. Thank you for hanging out with us. Thank you for tolerating our uncontinuity when it comes to releasing. But we, unfortunately, were super biz and just getting back around to the swing of things, but we're gonna keep them coming. All right, we're the Dad Timeout Show, and we're out of here.
Peace, love you.
Thanks for listening to the Dad Timeout Show. We're out of here. We've been listening to you talk for an hour.
My turn. Hey everybody, thanks for listening to our Timeout Show, and we're out of here.